Dennis and Kathleen are 68 and 64 with a $3 million portfolio for retirement. Financially speaking, they're in great shape, but these aggressive investors want more. Should they look into the private equity or alternative investment option market? Stay tuned to see what they do next. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it's our goal to help you optimize and simplify your retirement plan.
I'm Jet.
And I'm Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm trusted by thousands of clients, and we help people all over the U.S. focus more on their life so they can worry less about their money. And we've got an interesting case example today, a little bit off of the beaten path from what we normally do. So excited to share this one with you.
Yeah. So today's hypothetical case example, Dennis and Kathleen, they are 68 and 64 respectively. They have a portfolio totaling more than $3 million that they've built up. They're in great financial shape. They rely very little, if any, on their retirement nest egg for any income purposes. They have Social Security pensions, a lot of sources coming in from an income standpoint. They have a question. Have they graduated beyond the traditional tired asset allocation when it comes to their investments? You know, should they be looking at more than the normal at the end of the day?
What are we talking about? Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, CDs, annuities, all your regular stuff that you've heard about, right? What else is out there is the question that's on Dennis and Kathleen's mind.
Yeah.
They have no need from a living expense and withdrawal need standpoint, so they're lucky too.
Yeah.
And maybe luck isn't the right way to put it. Maybe they just, they were great savers, if you're watching, you may have heard at some point along your journey about things like private equity or alternative investments. And you've probably wondered, what does that mean? What types of investments are there? Should I be looking at that? Would I even qualify for that? How do I qualify for that? So today we're going to break down how a couple like Dennis and Kathleen might start considering the use of, say, private equity or an alternative investment as a piece to their overall investment puzzle.
Yeah. And if you find today's topic or information valuable here, make sure that you like, subscribe, turn your bell notification on so that you don't miss future Rise in Retirement on Sundays here.
Let's detail this quickly. Dennis 68, Kathleen 64. They've got $3 million saved and invested for long-term growth. Okay. Remember, there's no income need here, so they're invested for growth.
Yep.
$3 million is a mixture that's close to a third of it being qualified money or pre-tax, a third of it being Roth IRA money, and a third of it being taxable accounts, non-qualified. So they've got a good mix there. They're aggressive and they're risk tolerant. And in talking to a couple like this, if you ask the right questions, we're going to say that it became very clear that as the advisor, we agreed with that assessment.
Yep.
They're disciplined. They understand what markets do. They've never gotten emotionally or irrationally involved in selling. I think that they're able to do that largely because they don't have an income need from the portfolio. So it's just easier for them.
Yeah.
They want to grow. The goal is to grow the portfolio over time on the main basis that they want to enhance the legacy that they leave behind.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're investing for themselves, but more so for them because they don't need a withdrawal. They're investing for their kids and their grandchildren and the legacy that they want to leave to them when they're gone.
Yeah. And they hear constantly, there's ways to diversify and there's ways to, become a little non-correlated with just the traditional stock market. And, they see the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs of the stock market. And so it brought on this question of, hey, do we have enough money to break off and go do some different things? So, again, Social Security coming in, pension coming in, they have rental income so $3 million is just their investable assets. These are just dollars that are, call it liquid, that are ready to be deployed. But they have some properties that they own as well that are kicking off income. So again, that's a huge part of this. We talk risk, tolerance and capacity all the time. They have risk capacity because these are dollars that they will really never have to look to, pull out and take. So how how do you talk to somebody who's maybe looking for something outside of the norm?
Well, I should say this. If you have an advisor, you may get a different answer on this depending on who you're talking to, because quite frankly, not every financial professional or financial advisor that you talk to is even going to have access or a lane to look at stuff like private equity or alternative investments. A lot of, and this, there's nothing wrong with this, it's just matter of factly, a lot of financial advisors and groups and organizations, they just don't do this stuff.
Yeah.
They stick with the traditional stuff that we talked about, and that's fine. And you can still be majorly successful that way.
Yep.
But for someone that's got risk tolerance like this, I would encourage them to potentially look at understanding this first and what it means to them. That's key.
Yeah.
But the big thing that the first thing that I'm going to talk to is I'm going to establish a baseline for, of your $3 million, what's the number that we shouldn't exceed?
Yeah.
As to what we would look to allocate towards something like private equity or an alternative. I think that's where I would start.
It's huge. I mean, and we have, you know, we have a core and explore approach that we take from the investment standpoint. And that's generally going to be your core being those traditional stuff. That's your stocks, your bonds, your annuities and CDs, and you name it, mutual funds, ETFs. Like you said, how much of your investment plan should be in that core side of things? Now we can look outside of the, you know, core, which is explore, which could be, you know, income generation, which they don't need. It could be tax planning. They could use some of that. Yep. And sometimes some of these alternative investments can play into the tax side of things as well. It could just be simply diversified growth, which is what they're looking at, or alternative. So I agree. I think, you know, understanding how much are we working with. I personally would not want to see.
I was going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
What is there a rule of thumb that you would follow?
Well,
even in general.
Yeah. I mean, I think the key here is, number one, they have a different asset allocation because they have a lot of real estate. That's outside of the norm right there. So that's great. They already have some good diversification with that income. Mm-hmm. I generally wouldn't want to see more than 10% go into something. You mentioned private equity, right? Private equity, what many people won't fully understand is the internals of that. And that's, number one, you're usually not very liquid.
Yeah.
So you're giving up, you know, substantial liquidity by anything that's going into that. Not saying there's no liquidity, but generally you're going into this thing as a pretty evergreen investment that you're looking for diversified growth, and it may be kicking off some passive income as well. Private equity is interesting right now because you look at 80, don't quote me on this exact number, right? But roughly 80%+ of the largest companies in the US domestic are privately owned,
not publicly traded.
So there's opportunity, and that's why this is starting to gain some steam. But you mentioned who has access to it. You know, very often to get to the table, to get into a good, you know, private equity type investment, you got to have $1 million going into that specific investment as a minimum buy-in to that. Yeah. If you're not working with somebody who has better access to that. So, you know, if we're talking 10%, like I said, then, and Dennis and Kathleen aren't working with somebody who has the right type of access, it's probably not for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they could get, you know, 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, you know, then I think it could make a whole lot of sense to do something like that.
It's an interesting concept. And that's, you know, like I said about not all firms have access to this or are able to even come to that table.
Right.
For, you know, if Dennis and Kathleen were working on their own and they were to approach a private equity firm or someone that sells alternatives, there's requirements that they have to meet from an accredited investor standpoint. We're not going to go through what those are. You can look that up, but it's
in either income limits or
total asset
or
level.
Net worth limits, yeah. You know, not including properties and things like that.
So number one, you got to be an accredited investor to even come to the table. Number two, and if you're coming to the table individually, like you said, it's $1 million in most cases, which we just established for Dennis and Kathleen. That's way too much of their portfolio to be looking at this. But now that if they're working with a firm like ours, who has a certain size and a certain ability, and we're established over the years, that's where we can, or other firms can, bring those types of assets or those opportunities to the kitchen table for a couple like Dennis and Kathleen, where they can invest lower than those frontline minimums in, because we as a firm have access based on our size and our stability.
Yeah. Another key, you know, why is it considered an alternative? Well, it's ultimately that you're seeking something that's non-correlated to, you know, your traditional index, which is the S&P 500, right, or, you know, the aggregate bond index. Generally, these are being evaluated on a quarterly basis. So you're not even really seeing performance or share prices changing either. It's either monthly or quarterly generally. Again, liquidity is very limited.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, in a lot of private equity types of investments, you're illiquid until, in some cases, another merger and acquisition occurs, or you need a liquidity event to occur before you can even get your principal or your interest back.
Yeah.
So you got to be cognizant of the fact of the illiquidity nature of what these will do.
Yeah.
Dennis and Kathleen are in good shape for that because they don't have any liquidity needs that they know of anyway.
The other thing that a lot of people don't understand is the cost behind some of these private equity. And so, you know, there's a lot of alternatives in private equity that, you know, you're paying 1.5-2% asset fee to the private equity manager. Plus, if the advisor is potentially charging a fee for that, plus there's sometimes even what they call performance-based fees, you know, meaning that fund goes up by 20%, they're taking 20% of that 20% in addition to the asset fee. So understanding the costs that could be associated with it, I think, are really important. And, you know, there's just a lot of variables, and for many individuals, it's not right because they can't fully grasp what it is. And a lot of times the advisor can't even explain what it is, which that's a whole nother issue. So
let me ask you this before we move on. Let's tease a couple of specific examples within private equity or alternatives, just to give you an understanding of, you know, we're using the general term of private equity. More specifically, what types of things are we talking about? Yeah, give one or two examples of what you could be looking at
there. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, like, there's some opportunity funds out there right now where you can basically, you're, by investing with this private equity type of strategy, you're getting access to, you know, potentially 80 to 90 major multi-billion dollar managed equity fund, private equity funds that are going out and buying all sorts of different things. So it's not specifically to one industry. It could be, you know, that you're buying HVAC, you know, over here, you're buying financial industry companies over here. It's all pulled together, which is kind of creating that diversification. There's opportunities now to buy into some of the major sports teams that are out there.
Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association,
correct,
NFL, that kind of thing.
Correct. And so you're basically, you know, giving some capital to the private equity for them to take that capital and go buy, you know, to have some ownership into some of these teams where they're owning the TV rights, and you're then getting some of the income and growth.
It certainly seems like most of those professional sports leagues are doing quite well on the revenue side of things these days.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes sense. I mean, before we move on, good point to take a short stop and say, head to RiseInRetirement.com. And when the video is over here, if you want to talk more specifically about your scenario, or even with today's topic, hey, you know, I've been thinking about private equity or alternatives, or even on a more broad basis, how do I diversify beyond the traditional means? If you want to have a conversation with an advisor on our team, complimentary 30-minute phone appointment can be scheduled with any one of the advisors on our team at RiseInRetirement.com. And if you like the content that we post here every Sunday for Rise in Retirement, it is an absolute no-brainer for you to sign up to Ascend 360 Insider and become an insider for our weekly video email series that comes from our CEO. Every Thursday, you get an email in your inbox with a topic that we educate you on. So you can sign up for that there as well. Again, RiseInRetirement.com. final takeaways from us here today. I mean, we do red light, yellow light, green light. I think the assessment here is Dennis and Kathleen, in my eyes, get a green light on the basis of let's at minimum have a conversation about whether we should peel a piece of your $3 million portfolio off and look at alternatives or private equity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as long as they understand it, all of it, the fine print,
the cost,
the illiquidity, you know, and that
the risk associated
and that
their
risk tolerance and their views and philosophies line up, then yes, I think it's a green light from a standpoint where they meet a lot of the obligations. It's now just a, does this make sense for you guys? Yeah. Is this something that you'd want to add to your portfolio?
I think my final takeaway with this topic is at a minimum, your income need from your asset pool needs to be either zero or it needs to be low.
Yeah.
And you couple that with you also have to qualify and you have to have enough risk tolerance for this to even make sense to discuss.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway.
Yeah. I think my takeaway is to determine how much potentially could make sense if you meet all of the other, you know, accredited investor and all that is what's the amount of dollars up to maybe a certain percentage that you could afford to lose completely.
Because
that's how you got to look at this a little bit is it's, I have no access to it now and this could all go under and I could lose it all. Will that impact my lifestyle or my retirement in the future? If it has any impact on those, probably not right for you.
Make sure to like, share, subscribe to the channel. Turn that bell notification on. Drop us a comment below. If you like today's topic, tell us about it. If you have questions, list them there. Link in the description to riseinretirement.com. Make sure to check that out. We are out of time. And until next week, we will see you right here on Rise in Retirement.